the FBI PENTTBOM photo book, which contained photographs numbered 1 through 35. A cable states that Abu Zubaydah was volunteering information and was forthcoming and responding directly to questioning. Abu Zubaydah was not asked any preparatory questions regarding these photographs, identified photograph 31, known to the interrogators as Ramzi bin Al-Shib, as a man he knew as Al-Shiba, and stated Al-Shiba was with KSM in Kandahar circa December 2001. Abu Zubaydah stated that Al-Shiba spoke Arabic like a Yemeni and noted that Al-Shiba was in the media after the September 11, 2001 attacks. In early June 2002, Abu Zubaydah's interrogators recommended that Abu Zubaydah spend several weeks in isolation while the interrogation team members traveled, redacted, as a means of keeping Abu Zubaydah off balance and to allow the team needed time off for a break and to attend to personal matters, redacted, as well as to discuss the endgame of Abu Zubaydah, redacted, with officers from CIA headquarters. As a result, on June 18, 2002, Abu Zubaydah was placed in isolation. Abu Zubaydah spent the remainder of June 2002 and all of July 2002, 47 days in total, in solitary detention without being asked any questions. During this period, Abu Zubaydah's interrogators, redacted, the FBI special agents never returned to the detention site. When CIA officers next interrogated Abu Zubaydah on August 4, 2002, they immediately used the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on Abu Zubaydah, including the waterboard. On August 21, 2002, while Abu Zubaydah was still being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, a CIA cable noted that Abu Zubaydah was shown several photographs and immediately recognized the photograph of Ramzi bin Al-Shib. Abu Zubaydah described bin Al-Shib as having very dark, almost African-looking skin, and noted that he first met bin Al-Shib after the 9/11 attacks in Kandahar, but added that he did not have in-depth conversations with him. A cable stated that after being shown photographs of bin Al-Shib, Abu Zubaydah told interrogators that he was told bin Al-Shib stayed at the same safe house that KSM had established for the pilots and the other destined to be involved in the 9/11 attacks. An accompanying intelligence cable stated that Abu Zubaydah informed interrogators that he did not know and did not ask whether bin Al-Shib had been involved in the attacks of September 11, 2001. But did state that he believed that bin Al-Shib was one of the operatives working for Mukhtar, a.k.a. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. The information Abu Zubaydah provided while being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was described by CIA interrogators as significant new details. However, the information provided by Abu Zubaydah was similar to information Abu Zubaydah provided prior to the application of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, or was otherwise already known to the CIA. CIA records indicate that as early as September 15, 2001, Ramzi bin Al-Shib was identified as an associate of the September 11, 2001 hijackers who attempted to obtain flight training in Florida. A July 27, 2002 cable from the CIA's Alex station provided background information on bin Al-Shib and stated that he was suspected of being the original 20th hijacker, whose participation in the September 11 attacks was thwarted by his inability to obtain a visa to enter the United States. Ramzi bin Al-Shib was also identified as a member of the Hamburg cell that included hijacker Mohammed Atta, and bin Al-Shib was featured in one of five suicide testimonial videos found in December 2001 at the residence of former UBL Osama bin Laden, Lieutenant Mohammed Atef, in Afghanistan. None of the above information resulted in Ramzi bin Al-Shib's capture. Ramzi bin Al-Shib was captured unexpectedly during raids in Pakistan on September 11, 2002, targeting Hassan Ghul. Prior to Abu Zubaydah's capture, the CIA considered Hassan Ghul a first priority raid target, based on reporting that Ghul has been a major support player within the Al-Qaeda network and has assisted Al-Qaeda and Mujahideen operatives by facilitating their travel. He is a senior aide to Abu Zubaydah and was heavily involved in fundraising for a terrorist operation in spring 2001. Additional reporting noted that Hassan Ghul's phone number had been linked to a terrorist operative who was ready to conduct a surgical operation at any time, while other reporting indicated that Hassan Ghul was working on a program believed to be related to terrorist activity. According to CIA cables, once captured and prior to the initiation of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, Abu Zubaydah confirmed that Hassan Ghul was a high-level al-Qaeda facilitator who had contact with senior al-Qaeda members including Hamza Rabia, and Abu Musab al-Zakari. Abu Zubaydah also corroborated intelligence in CIA databases that Gul was involved in al-Qaeda fundraising efforts. During this same period, the CIA continued to receive additional intelligence on Gul from foreign governments, including that Gul was responsible for facilitating movement of Saudi fighters through Pakistan. As noted on June 18, 2002, Abu Zubaydah was placed in isolation and was not asked any questions for 47 days. In early July 2002, Pakistani authorities and the CIA were continuing their efforts to locate and capture Hassan Gul. A detainee in Pakistani custody, redacted, was providing detailed information to Pakistani authorities on Hassan Gul, redacted, the detainee in Pakistani custody, had been arrested with, on May, 2002, during, government raids on multiple residences thought to be associated with al-Qaeda. During interviews with Pakistani authorities concerning how to locate and capture Hassan Gul, the detainee in Pakistani custody, identified, a well-known associate of Hassan Gul, and location of the, well-known associate's home. On July, 2002, seeking to capture Hassan Gul, Pakistani authorities, raided the home of, the well-known associate of Hassan Gul. When the raid occurred, present at the home was, well-known associate, and family members of the well-known associate. A, providing details on the raid states that, the well-known associate, was interviewed on the spot and was fully cooperative with Pakistani authorities. Redacted, the well-known associate, stated that he had not seen Hassan Gul, or, since June 3, 2002, but that he believed they were still in Karachi. According to, the well-known associate, he had already informed Pakistani authorities that Hassan Gul was an al-Qaeda member. According to a cable, the well-known associate, stated that as a result of his reporting on Gul to Pakistani officials, he received a death threat from Hassan Gul, causing Gul to cease coming to the, well-known associate's home. CIA records indicate that Pakistani authorities continued to interview the, well-known associate in an effort to acquire information and capture Hassan Gul. A CIA cable dated July, 2002, states that the Pakistani government is keying in on information which could get, closer to bagging Hassan Gul, specifically through ongoing interviews of, the well-known associate of Hassan Gul. According to the cable, during one of the interviews, the well-known associate, told Pakistani authorities about an address where Hassan Gul used to reside circa December 2001. The well-known associate, sent, with the Pakistani officers to identify the home. The CIA officers wrote that the location is extremely close to, if not an exact match, to a location where KSM once resided, according to a June 18, 2002 report from the FBI. The identified home was raided but found empty. The CIA wrote, are hitting the right places, safe houses, albeit the wrong time. Our efforts have got us closer than ever to at least Hassan Gul. During the meetings between the Pakistani authorities and the well-known associate, the well-known associate, provided the Pakistani authorities with a copy of a, reportedly belonging to Hassan Gul, In the same cable, the CIA reported that well-known associate, had approached the police for assistance in retrieving, who was, a specific family member of the well-known associate. On July, 2002, CTC officers at CIA headquarters wrote that they were reading the cables from the CIA, noting they were particularly interested in the interview of raid target, the well-known associate of Hassan Gul, who admitted, to his knowledge of Gul's involvement in al-Qaeda activities. The cable stated, recognize that, the well-known associate, claims his contact with Gul stopped approximately 1 month ago when he reported Gul to the Pakistani authorities. However, given, his close association to one of our high-interest targets request, initiate technical surveillance of, the well-known associate's telephone to determine if they may yield any information on Gul's current whereabouts. CIA records do not indicate if technical surveillance of, the well-known associate's telephone was conducted. According to CIA records, once captured and prior to the initiation of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, Abu Zubaydah confirmed that Hassan Gul was a high-level al-Qaeda facilitator who had contact with senior al-Qaeda members including Hamza Rabia and Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Abu Zubaydah also corroborated intelligence and CIA databases that Gul was involved in al-Qaeda's fundraising efforts. As noted, on June 18, 2002, Abu Zubaydah was placed in isolation and therefore was not questioned on the July 2002 raids on, redacted, the well-known associate's home, or the information acquired from the interviews of, redacted, the well-known associate, conducted by Pakistani authorities. On August 4, 2002, after Abu Zubaydah spent 47 days in isolation, CIA interrogators entered his cell and immediately began subjecting Abu Zubaydah to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including the waterboard. As he had before the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, when asked questions, Abu Zubaydah continued to provide intelligence, including on Hassan Gul. On August 20, 2002, while still being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, Abu Zubaydah was asked, specifically, how he would find Hassan Gul. There are no records indicating that Abu Zubaydah had previously been asked this question. In response, Abu Zubaydah provided corroborative reporting that Hassan Gul could possibly be located through, redacted, the well-known associate of Hassan Gul. There are no CIA records indicating that Abu Zubaydah provided information on the location of, redacted, the well-known associate's home, which, as noted, had been raided weeks earlier on July, redacted, 2002, and was already known to the CIA and Pakistani authorities. 9 days after Abu Zubaydah referenced, redacted, the well-known associate of Hassan Gul, on August 29, 2002, CIA headquarters asked, redacted, to request that Pakistani authorities re-interview, redacted, the well-known associate, for additional intelligence on Hassan Gul. The next day, August 30, 2002, redacted, informed CIA headquarters that Pakistani authorities were in contact with the, redacted, well-known associate, but that, redacted, would nonetheless ask the Pakistani authorities to question, redacted, the well-known associate, again about Hassan Gul's location. On August 31, 2002, redacted, relayed that Pakistani authorities and, redacted, believed it was possible that, redacted, the well-known associate, was not being fully truthful in his interviews with Pakistani authorities. On September 3, 2002, redacted, reported that Pakistani authorities had re-interviewed, redacted, the well-known associate, an unknown number of times, and that the Pakistani authorities noted that, at times, redacted, the well-known associate, contradicted himself. Approximately 1 week later, on September 9, 2002, Pakistani authorities returned again to, redacted, the well-known associate's home and interviewed, redacted, a specific family member of the well-known associate, who had recently returned to, redacted, the well-known associate's home. In interviews with Pakistani authorities, redacted, the specific family member of the well-known associate, was cooperative and told the Pakistani authorities where Hassan Gul's last apartment was located. Based on the information provided on Gul's apartment, Pakistani authorities conducted a raid but found the apartment empty. Pakistani authorities then located and interviewed, redacted, a third individual at the apartment complex. From the interview of the third individual, Pakistani authorities learned that while Hassan Gul had vacated the apartment, he was scheduled to return to the complex, redacted. Based on this information, Pakistani authorities placed the complex under surveillance and waited for Hassan Gul to return. On September 10, 2002, Pakistani authorities arrested two individuals believed to be Hassan Gul and his driver outside the apartment complex. A CIA cable noted that Gul had returned to the apartment to, redacted, however, he got more than he bargained for. Another CIA cable stated, interestingly, he denies being Hassan Gul, claiming Hassan Gul is someone else, while, redacted, are fairly certain we do in fact have Hassan Gul in custody. We would like to make every effort to verify. By September 11, 2002, it was determined that an individual named Muhammad Ahmed Ghulam Rabbani, aka Abu Badir, and his driver were arrested, not Hassan Gul. Abu Badir's driver, Muhammad Madni, was immediately cooperative and told the arresting officers that Abu Badir was a major al-Qaeda facilitator. He then proceeded to provide Pakistani authorities with information about al-Qaeda-affiliated residences and safe houses in Karachi. Based on the information provided by Muhammad Madni, Pakistani authorities, redacted, conducted, redacted, raids in Karachi over the next 2 days. Raids of the initial sites resulted in the recovery of a number of modified electrical switch-type mechanisms, modified circuit and game boards, and other miscellaneous wires with alligator clips and battery attachments. On September 11, 2002, additional raids resulted in the arrest of 11 individuals, including Ramzi bin Hashib. According to CIA records, bin al-Hashib initially identified himself as Umar Muhammad Abdallah Ba'amar, a.k.a. Abu Ubiada. But the CIA noted, "This individual strongly resembled pictures of Ramzi bin Hashib. When asked if he was videotaped in al-Qaeda videos, he answered, yes." Shortly thereafter, the CIA confirmed Ramzi bin Hashib was the individual in Pakistani custody. Hassan Ghul was ultimately captured by foreign authorities in the Iraqi Kurdistan region on January, redacted, 2004. Hassan Ghul's capture was unrelated to any reporting from the CIA's detention and interrogation program. 4. The capture of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. On September 6, 2006, President Bush delivered a speech based on information provided by the CIA and vetted by the CIA that included the following statement. Zubaydah was questioned using the procedures, the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, and soon he began to provide information on key al-Qaeda operatives, including information that helped us find and capture more of those responsible for the attacks on September the 11th. For example, Zubaydah identified one of KSM's accomplices in the 9/11 attacks, a terrorist named Ramzi bin Hashib. The information Zubaydah provided helped lead to the capture of bin Hashib, and together, these two terrorists provided information that helped in the planning and execution of the operation that captured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Contrary to CIA representations, there are no CIA records to support the assertion that Abu Zubaydah, Ramzi bin Hashib, or any other CIA detainee played any role in the planning and execution of the operation that captured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. CIA records clearly describe how the capture of KSM was attributed to the unilateral CIA asset, Asset X, who gained access to KSM through Redacted, with whom the CIA asset had prior independent connections. Asset X's possible access to KSM through Redacted was apparent to the CIA as early as the fall of 2001. Prior to his formal recruitment, the CIA had multiple opportunities to exploit Asset X's access to KSM's Redacted in 2001 and in 2002, after he was recruited, but did not. In February-March 2003, Asset X led the CIA directly to KSM. The contemporaneous documentary record of this narrative is supported by numerous after-action interviews conducted by the CIA's Oral History Program, as the CIA officer who handled Asset X and who was directly involved in the capture of KSM stated, "The operation was a human op, pretty much from start to finish." Within days after the attacks of September 11, 2001, CTC officers suspected KSM of playing a key role in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks.
Note, 1837. See, for example, the September 15, 2001 email from a CIA officer to Redacted of Alex Station, in which the officer wrote, "I would say the percentages are pretty high that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is involved in the September 11, 2001 attacks."
Shortly thereafter, CTC officers also noted the striking similarities between the September 11, 2001 attacks and the 1993 World Trade Center bombing by KSM's nephew, Ramzi Youssef, Redacted. On September 26, 2001, the CIA's Alex Station issued a cable on KSM and Ramzi Youssef that described extensive derogatory information on Redacted. The CIA officer who drafted the September 26, 2001 cable wrote in email that Redacted were associated with terrorists, and that Redacted probably is a close associate of KSM. In a separate email, the CIA officer wrote that, "At a minimum, we should go after Redacted." Both emails were sent to CIA officers who a few days later would consider Redacted Asset X a potential CIA source whose access to KSM through Redacted was readily apparent. Asset X came to the CIA's attention in the spring of 2001. Redacted. However, CIA officers did not meet with Asset X until after the September 11, 2001 attacks. On September 28, 2001, Alex Station sent a cable, Redacted, noting that given the events of 11 September, We are very interested in exploring whatever information Asset X may have with regard to terrorist plans by UBL. The CIA held its first meeting with Asset X on Redacted 2001, at which time Asset X indicated he knew Redacted. The cable describing the first meeting states that Asset X's knowledge, Redacted, appears to check out and demonstrate some degree of access slash knowledge, Redacted. On Redacted 2001, the cable describing the first meeting with Asset X was forwarded by the drafter of the September 26, 2001 cable on the derogatory information concerning Redacted to a number of CTC officers in an email with the subject line, "Regarding Asset X's information regarding Redacted." The following day, the cable was forwarded again to CTC officers with the subject line, "Access to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed." On Redacted 2001, Asset X held his second meeting with CIA officers who described Asset X as very willing to clandestinely assist the USG as directed. At the same meeting, Asset X identified a photograph, Redacted. On Redacted 2001, CIA headquarters wrote that the CIA would be keenly interested if Asset X can dig into the KSM Redacted. In Redacted 2001, Asset X proposed multiple times to the CIA that he use his contacts to locate KSM through Redacted, the same approach that would lead the CIA to KSM more than 15 months later. Asset X also argued for a more aggressive and proactive approach, Redacted, but was eventually convinced by CIA officers to Redacted instead. After Alex Station rejected the CIA case officers' recommended financial compensation for Asset X, Asset X declined to work with the CIA as a CIA source. Over the next 9 months, the CIA continued to believe that Asset X had the potential to develop information on KSM and his location, and sought, but was unable to reestablish contact with Asset X. During this time, the CIA continued to collect intelligence on KSM's Redacted, and sought other opportunities to gain access to KSM through Redacted. In July 2002, a detainee in foreign government custody provided extensive information on KSM's Redacted and confirmed that KSM was very close to Redacted, who should know how to contact KSM. When the CIA finally located and met again with Asset X on Redacted 2002, Asset X stated that he could Redacted within a few weeks and was willing to travel Redacted to locate Redacted. Asset X was recruited as a source by the CIA, but despite his offer to track KSM's Redacted, Asset X was dispatched by the CIA to Redacted. By the time Asset X returned to Redacted 2002, his previous CIA case officer, Handler, there had departed for another CIA assignment, Redacted. Asset X was thus handled by a new CIA officer who was unfamiliar with Asset X's potential utility in tracking KSM. Seeking guidance on how to proceed with Asset X, the new CIA case officer sent several cables to CIA headquarters, which he later described as disappearing into a black hole. According to an interview of a CIA officer involved in the operation, the cables were being sent to a special compartment at CIA headquarters, which had been previously used by the team, Redacted. With the dispersal of that CIA team, however, the compartment was idle and no one at CIA headquarters was receiving and reading the cables being sent to the special compartment. When the CIA case officer received no response to the cables he was sending to CIA headquarters, he made preparations to terminate the CIA's relationship with Asset X. According to interviews in Redacted 2002, the CIA officer redacted and was on his way to meet Asset X to terminate the asset's relationship with the CIA. By chance, a CIA officer who had previously handled Asset X, Redacted, was visiting Redacted. This visiting CIA officer overheard the discussion between the chief of base and the CIA case officer concerning the CIA's termination of Asset X as a CIA source. The discussion included names that Asset X had been discussing with the case officer, Redacted, names that the visiting officer recognized, Redacted. The visiting CIA officer interceded and recommended that the CIA base delay the termination of Asset X as a CIA source. At the next meeting, Asset X again demonstrated that he had direct access to KSM's Redacted. As a result, the CIA decided not to terminate Asset X's work as a CIA source.
Note, 1866. The CIA's June 2013 response claims that the CIA correctly represented that detainee reporting helped us capture KSM. This CIA assertion is based on an indirect chain of causation purporting to connect the reporting of Abu Zubaydah to the intervention of the visiting CIA officer and the subsequent capture of KSM. This account, which the CIA represented for the first time in June 2013, is inaccurate in numerous ways. 1. The CIA represents that information provided by Abu Zubaydah helped lead to the capture of Ramzi bin al-Shib, RBS. The inaccuracies of this representation are described in this summary and in greater detail in Volume 2. 2. The CIA represents that reporting from Ramzi bin al-Shib, who was not in CIA custody at the time, regarding Ammar al-Baluchi, was key to capturing KSM. This, too, is inaccurate. As detailed in the study, Ammar al-Baluchi played no role in the operation that captured KSM, which centered around Asset X and Redacted. 3. The CIA represents that Ben al-Shib's reporting on Ammar al-Baluchi was used to debrief Redacted detainee R, who was in foreign government custody, and that, as a result, detainee R discussed Redacted. This statement is not supported by CIA records. CIA records related to detainee R's interrogation in foreign government custody indicate that detainee R's reporting was prompted using a photograph and a letter. 4. The CIA represents that detainee R's information on Redacted allowed CIA to understand the value of the access Asset X had to Redacted. This is also inaccurate. As detailed in the study, the value of Asset X's access to KSM's Redacted was apparent to the CIA in 2001. 5. The CIA states that the visiting CIA officer who intervened to forestall the termination of Asset X did so because, having been redacted, he was familiar with detainee R's reporting on KSM's Redacted. This representation omits the fact that the visiting CIA officer was a member of the team that handled Asset X while Asset X redacted. That team received information concerning Asset X's stated access to KSM through Redacted. The information was provided to the team prior to the capture of detainee R. 6. The CIA asserts that detainee R's reporting helped CIA to redirect Asset X, Redacted, in an effort to locate KSM. This is inaccurate. As detailed in the study, Asset X had been indicating that he had access to KSM through Redacted since 2001 and, as detailed, contacted KSM's Redacted on his own. CIA records indicate that the detainees who provided corroborating information about KSM's Redacted, detainee S and detainee R, were in foreign government custody at the time they provided the information. Detainee R would later be rendered to CIA custody and approved for the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, although there are no CIA records indicating that he was subjected to the techniques.
Shortly thereafter, in Redacted 2003, Asset X traveled on his own volition and without prior discussion with the CIA to Redacted and Redacted, a face-to-face meeting with KSM. When Asset X later informed CIA officers about his trip, Redacted, direct access to KSM, Redacted. The internal debate within the CIA continued, however, with the Redacted and Asset X and his CIA handlers urging the CIA to delay action and wait for an opportunity for Asset X to locate KSM. Alex Station initially supported immediate action to capture any KSM associate Asset X could lead them to, before reversing his position on February, Redacted, 2003. The next day, Asset X arrived in Islamabad, Redacted, where he was surprised to find KSM, Redacted. Asset X, Redacted, sent a text message to his CIA handler stating, IMW KSM, Redacted. Asset X contacted the CIA and conveyed what had just occurred. Redacted. In an interview with the CIA's oral history program, the CIA case officer described what had happened. We went around, you know. Redacted. Asset X turns around to me and he says, look, I don't know, I guess I'm nervous. Redacted. I said, look, brother, there are 25 million friggin' reasons why you need to find Redacted. That's what the reward was. He looks at me and says, I understand, I understand. Shortly thereafter, Asset X found Redacted And in the early mornings of March 1, 2003, Pakistani authorities conducted a raid and captured KSM. On March redacted, 2003, KSM was rendered to CIA custody. 5. The capture of Majid Khan. The CIA represented that intelligence derived from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against CIA detainee KSM led to the capture of Majid Khan. These representations were inaccurate. In multiple interviews with the CIA Office of Inspector General, CIA officers stated, "Information from KSM led to the capture of Majid Khan, and that KSM gave us Majid Khan." The deputy chief of Alex Station and former KSM debriefer, redacted, represented that KSM provided information that helped lead to the arrest of Majid Khan, an operative who could get into the U.S. easily. The draft of OIG Special Review repeated the representations of redacted and others stating that KSM provided information that helped lead to the arrests of terrorists, including Majid Khan, an operative who could enter the United States easily and was tasked to research attacks against U.S. water reservoirs. On February 27, 2004, DDO James Pavitt submitted the CIA's formal response to the Draft Inspector General Special Review. Pavitt's submission represented that Majid Khan was in custody because of the information we were able to lawfully obtain from KSM. The final and now declassified CIA Inspector General Special Review states that KSM provided information that helped lead to the arrests of terrorists, including Majid Khan, an operative who could enter the United States easily and was tasked to research attacks. In its analysis of the legality of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, the OLC relied on passages of the Inspector General's special review that included this inaccurate representation. On July 29, 2003, CIA leadership met with select members of the National Security Council to obtain reaffirmation of the CIA interrogation program. The CIA stated that detainees subjected to the use of enhanced interrogation techniques of one kind or another had produced significant intelligence information that had, in the view of CIA professionals, saved lives. Briefing slides provided by the CIA stated that major threat information was acquired, providing the identification of the Majid Khan family by KSM as an example. The same slides were used, at least in part, for subsequent briefings.
Note, 1888. The CIA's June 2013 response states that CIA mistakenly provided incorrect information to the Inspector General, IG, that led to a one-time misrepresentation of this case in the IG's 2004 special review. The CIA's June 2013 response adds that this mistake was not, as it is characterized in the findings and conclusions section of the study, a repeatedly represented or frequently cited example of the effectiveness of CIA's enhanced interrogation program. The CIA's June 2013 assertion that this was a one-time misrepresentation is inaccurate. As described, the inaccurate information was provided numerous times to the Inspector General in multiple interviews and in the CIA's official response to the draft special review. Afterwards, the CIA relied on the section of the special review that included the inaccurate information on the capture of Majid Khan in obtaining legal approval for the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques from the Department of Justice. This information was also provided by the CIA to the CIA's Blue Ribbon Panel for their review of the CIA's detention and interrogation program. The CIA also included the inaccurate representation about the identification of Majid Khan and his family to the National Security Council principals on multiple occasions. Further, as noted, the inaccurate information on the CIA OIG special review was declassified and has been used in multiple open source articles and books, often as an example of the effectiveness of the CIA program.
On September 16, 2003, a briefing was conducted for Secretary of State Colin Powell and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, the content of which was described as virtually identical to the July 29, 2003 briefing. The slides were also used in an October 7, 2003 briefing for Assistant Attorney General Jack Goldsmith. CIA records indicate that Majid Khan was identified and located prior to any reporting from KSM. There is no indication in CIA records that reporting from KSM or any other CIA detainee played any role in the identification of Majid Khan. On January 10, 2003, the FBI's Baltimore field office opened a full-field international terrorism investigation on the email account bobdessy@hotmail.com. According to FBI investigative records, the investigation was predicated upon information received through the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, concerning a known al-Qaeda email account that was already under FISA coverage, redacted. 6 days later, on January 16, 2003, open-source research related to the Bob Dessy email account revealed a personal website for the user, Majid Khan. In February 2003, redacted, was tracking Majid Khan's internet activity and was confident he was located at his brother's house in Karachi, Pakistan. On March 4, 2003, Alex Station noted that activity on an al-Qaeda email account associated with Khalid Binatash that was in contact with Majid Khan had been dormant. Alex Station recommended that, redacted, move to capture Majid Khan in the hope that Majid Khan could lead CIA officers to Khalid bin Attash. The following morning, March 5, 2003, officers from Pakistan, redacted, carried out a raid on Majid Khan's brother's house, detaining Majid Khan. On March 15, 2003, Deputy Chief of Alex Station, redacted, sent an email to CIA headquarters noting that she had read the reporting from Majid Khan's foreign government interrogations and was requesting photographs of Majid Khan and his associates to use in the KSM interrogations. CIA headquarters provided the photographs the same day. On March 17, 2003, KSM was shown the photograph of Majid Khan and discussed the person he stated he knew as Yusuf for the first time. 6. The thwarting of the Camp Le Monnier plotting. The CIA represented that intelligence derived from the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques thwarted plotting against the U.S. military base Camp Le Monnier in Djibouti. These representations were inaccurate. In the September 6, 2006 speech acknowledging the CIA's detention and interrogation program, which was based on CIA-provided information and vetted by the CIA, President George W. Bush stated, "This is intelligence that cannot be found in any other place, and our security depends on getting this kind of information." The speech continued, "These are some of the plots that have been stopped because of information from this vital program. Terrorists held in CIA custody have also provided information that helped stop the planned strike on U.S. Marines at Camp Le Monnier in Djibouti." An Office of the Director of National Intelligence public release accompanying the September 6, 2006 speech states that the CIA designed a new interrogation program that would be safe, effective, and legal. The document asserts, "In early 2004, shortly after his capture, al-Qaeda facilitator Guled Hassan Darad revealed that in mid-2003, al-Qaeda East Africa cell leader Abu Talal Sadani sent him from Mogadishu to Djibouti to case the U.S. Marine base Camp Le Monnier as part of a plot to send suicide bombers with a truck bomb." Similarly, in a prepared briefing for the chairman of the House Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, John Murtha, on October 30, 2007, the CIA represented that the CIA could not conduct its detention operations at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, because interrogations conducted on U.S. military installations must comply with the Army Field Manual. The CIA's presentation stated that the CIA program was critical to the CIA's ability to protect the American homeland and U.S. forces and citizens abroad from terrorist attack, that most, if not all, of the intelligence acquired from the high-value detainees in this CIA program would likely not have been discovered or reported in any other way, that the CIA program is in no way comparable to the detainee program run by our military, and that the CIA used information derived from the program to disrupt terrorist plots, including against our military. The CIA presentation then stated, "A CIA detainee informed us of an operation underway to attack the U.S. military at Camp Le Monnier in Djibouti. We believe our understanding of this plot helped us to prevent the attack." A review of CIA records found that 1. The detainee to whom the CIA's representations refer, Guled Hassan Darad, was not subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 2. The CIA was aware of and reported on the terrorist threat to Camp Le Monnier prior to receiving any information from CIA detainees. 3. Guled provided corroborative reporting on the threat prior to being transferred to CIA custody. And 4. Contrary to CIA representations, the plotting did not stop because of information acquired from CIA detainee Gillette in 2004, but rather continued well into 2007. On March 4, 2004, Gillette was captured in Djibouti based on information obtained from a foreign government and a CIA source. Prior to entering CIA custody, Gillette was confronted with information acquired from signals intelligence, and he confirmed that he cased Camp Lamanié as a potential terrorist attack. CIA sought to render Gillette to CIA custody in order to question Gillette about senior Al-Qaeda East Africa members Abu Talha al-Sadani and Saleh Ali Saleh Nabhan. A CIA cable states, "Gillette represents the closest we have come to an individual with first-hand, face-to-face knowledge of Abu Talha al-Sadani and Nabhan, and our hope is that Gillette will provide key intelligence necessary for the capture of these senior Al-Qaeda members." Prior to Gillette's rendition to CIA custody, he provided detailed information on his casing of Camp Lamanié to CIA officers. On March, redacted, 2004, Gillette was rendered to CIA custody. There are no records to indicate that Gillette was subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, nor are there any CIA records to indicate that Gillette provided the information that was the basis for his rendition to CIA custody. Information leading to the capture of Abu Talha al-Sadani or Saleh Ali Saleh Nabhan. While in CIA custody, Gillette continued to provide information on his targeting of Camp Lamanié. Gillette stated that Abu Talha al-Sadani had not yet picked the operatives for the attack against Camp Lamanié, that the attack was on hold while they raised the necessary funds via the bank robbery operation, and that he, Gillette, was not informed of the operational plan. Neither the detention of Gillette nor the information he provided thwarted terrorist plotting against Camp Lamanié, and the CIA records indicate that attack planning against Camp Lamanié continued well after Gillette's capture in March 2004, to include a time period beyond the president's September 6, 2006 speech. In March 2005, the CIA sought approval to render an associate of Gillette whom the CIA stated was planning terrorist attacks on U.S. targets in East Africa, particularly against Camp Lamanié in Djibouti. In October 2005, a cable stated, "A body of reporting indicates that East Africa Al-Qaeda network operatives are currently planning attacks on U.S. interests in the region, particularly the U.S. military base Camp Lamanié in Djibouti." In April 2007, the continued terrorist threat reporting against Camp Lamanié resulted in a request for the camp to further alter their security practices. In October 2007, in light of the ongoing threat reporting related to Camp Lamanié, CIA officer, redacted, attempted to explain the CIA-validated statement in the president's September 6, 2006 speech that terrorists held in CIA custody helped stop the planned strike on U.S. Marines at Camp Lamanié in Djibouti. Redacted, who was involved in vetting of the speech, wrote to a CIA colleague tracking the ongoing threats to Camp Lamanié that the reasoning behind the CIA validation of the language in the speech, and remember, we can argue about whether or not planning constitutes a plot and about whether anything is ever disrupted, was that the detainee reporting increased our awareness of attack plotting against the base, leading to heightened security. A review of the CIA records, however, found no indications that CIA detainee reporting from Gillette or any other CIA detainee alerted the CIA or the U.S. military to increased terrorist targeting of Camp Lamanié. To the contrary, CIA records indicate that the CIA was in possession of substantial threat reporting demonstrating that Camp Lamanié in Djibouti was being targeted by Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda-affiliated extremists prior to the detention of Gillette on March 4, 2004. For example, on January 28, 2003, a foreign government report disseminated by the CIA stated that Al-Qaeda operatives were planning to ram an explosives-laden truck into a military base, probably Camp Lamanié. On March 10, 2003, a terrorist advisory was issued which stated that U.S. forces stationed at Camp Lamanié in Djibouti could be targeted. Similar reporting continued through 2003, and by the end of the year, the CIA had redacted coverage, indicating that Gillette and other identified operatives were being directed by Abu Talha al-Sadani to target Camp Lamanié. By the end of December 2003, Djiboutian authorities confirmed that Gillette cased Camp Lamanié and that Gillette appeared to have formulated a complete targeting package which included an escape route. It was this reporting that led, redacted, to capture Galid on March 4, 2004.
7. The assertion that CIA detainees, subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques, help validate CIA sources. In addition to CIA's claims that information produced during or after the use of CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques led to the disruption of terrorist plots and the capture of specific terrorists, the CIA also represented that its enhanced interrogation techniques were necessary to validate CIA sources. The claim was based on one CIA detainee, Janat Gul, contradicting the reporting of one CIA asset. The CIA repeatedly represented to policymakers that information acquired after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques helped to validate CIA sources. For example, CIA Director Michael Hayden provided testimony to the committee on April 12, 2007 that detainee information is a key tool for validating clandestine sources. In fact, in one case, the detainee's information proved to be the accurate story, and the clandestine source was confronted and subsequently admitted to embellishing or fabricating some or all of the details in his report. Similarly, in January 2009, the CIA compiled a detailed briefing book for a planned 3-hour briefing of the CIA's detention and interrogation program for President-elect Obama's national security staff. Included in the materials was a document that stated, "Key intelligence was collected from HVD interrogations after applying the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques." After this statement, the CIA provided examples, including that the most significant reporting acquired from CIA detainee Janat Gul after applying the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was information that helped the CIA validate a CIA asset. The document states, "Pakistan-based facilitator Janat Gul's most significant reporting helped us validate a CIA asset who was providing information about the 2004 pre-election threat. The asset claimed that Gul had arranged a meeting between himself and al-Qaeda's chief of finance, Sheikh Saeed, a claim that Gul vehemently denied. Gul's reporting was later matched with information obtained from Sharif al-Masri and Abu Talah al-Pakistani, captured after Gul. With this reporting in hand, CIA questioned the asset, who subsequently admitted to fabricating his reporting about the meeting." The CIA representation that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques produced information that allowed the CIA to identify the reporting of a CIA asset as fabricated lacked critical contextual information. The CIA representations did not describe how the CIA asset's reporting was already doubted by CIA officers prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Gul. Nor did the CIA's representations acknowledge that the asset's fabricated reporting was the reason that Janat Gul was subjected to the techniques in the first place. The CIA concluded that Janat Gul was not a high-level al-Qaeda figure and did not possess threat information, but this conclusion was not included in CIA representations. In March 2004, the CIA received reporting from a CIA asset, Asset Y, that Janat Gul was planning with senior al-Qaeda leaders to conduct attacks inside the United States. The attacks were reportedly planned to occur prior to the U.S. elections in November 2004. Asset Y, who cited Janat Gul as the source of the information, stated that Gul was going to facilitate a meeting between Abu Faraj al-Libi and Asset Y in support of the operation. As noted, CIA officers expressed doubts about Asset Y's reporting at the time it was received. A senior CIA officer, who formerly served as chief in the Bin Laden unit, raised questions about the reliability of the asset's reporting on March, redacted 2004, stating that the reporting was vague and worthless in terms of actionable intelligence, and that al-Qaeda loses nothing by disclosing the information. He further stated that, given an al-Qaeda statement emphasizing a lack of desire to strike before the U.S. election, and al-Qaeda's knowledge that threat reporting causes panic in Washington and leaks soon after it is received, The report would be an easy way for al-Qaeda to test Asset Y. Alex Station Officer Redacted expressed similar doubts about the source's reporting in response to the email. Less than 3 months later, Jannat Gul was captured in Redacted on June Redacted 2004. On June Redacted 2004, CIA's Redacted proposed that Gul be rendered to CIA custody, citing Asset Y's reporting. During this period, however, the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques had been suspended by the CIA director. On June 29, 2004, a draft memorandum from DCI Tenet to National Security Advisor Rice sought special approval from the National Security Council Principals Committee to use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Jannat Gul to learn more about the threat reporting from Asset Y. The memorandum referenced Asset Y's reporting and stated that if the CIA could use the techniques, the agency would be in an optimum position to obtain from Gul critical intelligence necessary to save American lives by disrupting the pre-election plot, locating senior al-Qaeda leaders still at large, and learning how Osama bin Laden communicates with his operatives. The memorandum further stated that, given the magnitude of the danger posed by the pre-election plot and Jannat Gul's almost certain knowledge of any intelligence about that plot, I request the fastest possible resolution of the above issues. On July 2, 2004, the day that CIA headquarters approved the rendition of Jannat Gul to CIA custody, the CIA represented to select members of the National Security Council that Jannat Gul was one of the most senior radical Islamic facilitators in Pakistan and noted that he was assessed by a key source on the pre-election plot to be involved in or to have information on the plot. On July 15, 2004, based on the reporting of Asset Y, the CIA represented to the chairman and vice chairman of the committee that Jannat Gul was associated with a pre-election plot to conduct an attack in the United States. On July 20, 2004, select National Security Council principals met again, and according to CIA records, agreed that, given the current threat and risk of delay, CIA was authorized and directed to utilize the techniques with Jannat Gul as necessary. On July 22, 2004, Attorney General Ashcroft approved the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Jannat Gul based on Asset Y's reporting. Jannat Gul was rendered to CIA custody on July, redacted 2004. On August 2, 2004, Jannat Gul denied knowledge of any imminent threats against the United States homeland. Gul's denial was deemed a strong resistance posture by CIA detention site personnel. Jannat Gul was then subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques from August 3, 2004 to August 10, 2004, and then again from August 21, 2004 to August 25, 2004. On August 19, 2004, CIA personnel wrote that the interrogation team does not believe Gul is withholding imminent threat information.
Note, 1949. Notwithstanding this assessment, on August 21, 2004, a cable from CIA headquarters stated that Jannat Gul is believed to possess information about risks to the citizens of the United States or other nations, that the use of enhanced techniques is appropriate in order to obtain that information, and that CIA headquarters was therefore approving the resumed use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Jannat Gul.
On August 25, 2004, CIA interrogators sent a cable to CIA headquarters stating that Jannat Gul may not possess all that the CIA believes him to know. The interrogators added that the interrogation team maintains a degree of caution in some areas, as many issues linking Gul to al-Qaeda are derived from single-source reporting, a reference to the CIA source, Asset Y. That same day, August 25, 2004, the CIA's Associate General Counsel provided a letter to the DOJ seeking approval to use additional CIA enhanced interrogation techniques against Jannat Gul. Dietary manipulation, nudity, water dousing, and the abdominal slap. The letter asserted that Janot Gul had information concerning imminent threats to the United States and information that might assist in locating senior al-Qaeda operatives whose removal from the battlefield could severely disrupt planned terrorist attacks against the United States. The letter stated, "In addition, CIA understands that before his capture, Gul had been working to facilitate a direct meeting between the redacted CIA redacted source reporting on the pre-election threat, Asset Y, and Abu Faraj himself. Gul had arranged a previous meeting between Asset Y and al-Qaeda finance chief Sheikh Saeed at which elements of the pre-election threat were discussed." The letter from the CIA's associate general counsel asserted that Janot Gul's resistance increases when questioned about matters that may connect him to al-Qaeda or evidence he has direct knowledge of operational terrorist activities. The letter stated that the CIA sought approval to add 4 enhanced interrogation techniques to Janot Gul's interrogation plan in order to reduce markedly Gul's strong resistance posture and provide an opportunity for the interrogation team to obtain his cooperation. On August 26, 2004, Acting Assistant Attorney General Dan Levin informed CIA Acting General Counsel Rizzo that the use of the 4 additional enhanced interrogation techniques did not violate any U.S. statutes, the U.S. Constitution, or U.S. treaty obligations. Levin's letter stated that, "We understand that Janot Gul is a high-value al-Qaeda operative who is believed to possess information concerning an imminent terrorist threat to the United States." On August 27, 2004, Gul's CIA interrogators reported that, in terms of overt indications of resistance, Gul's overall resistance is currently judged to be minimal. Nonetheless, on August 31, 2004, the CIA interrogators asked CIA headquarters to approve an extension of all CIA enhanced interrogation techniques against Janot Gul. The CIA's associate general counsel objected, writing, "In the end, it's going to be an operational call. I just want to be sure that the record is clear that we're not acting precipitously and we are taking into consideration everything we're learning about this guy. We open ourselves to possible criminal liability if we misuse the interrogation techniques. I reflect again on the cable or cables from the interrogation team that opines that physical EITs, facial slap walling, etc., do not work on him. I would strongly encourage then headquarters not to approve the use of physical interrogation techniques, because if they don't work, then our motives are questionable. If our motives might be questionable, then we get ourselves in trouble." Despite these concerns, on September 3, 2004, CIA headquarters released a cable extending approval for sleep deprivation for 30 days. CIA records indicate, however, that Gul was not subjected to sleep deprivation or any other enhanced interrogation technique following this approval. On September 7, 2004, more than a month after Janot Gul was rendered to CIA custody, a CIA officer who had observed the interrogations of Gul prepared a memorandum for the leadership of the CIA's Renditions, Detentions, and Interrogations Group, stating, "The definition of an HVD has probably become blurred over the past year as CIA began to render a higher number of MVDs, medium-value detainees. But Janot Gul would not be considered an HVD when compared to Abu Zubaydah, KSM, and similar-level HVDs. Janot Gul should likewise not be considered an operational planner or even an operator. It is very likely that Janot Gul came into contact with operational information, but we lack credible information that ties him to pre-election threat information or direct operational planning against the United States at home or abroad. Likewise, we lack any substantive information that connects Janot Gul to UBL, Zawahiri, and Abu Faraj al-Libi." On September 16, 2004, CIA detention site personnel wrote that Janot Gul's reporting directly contradicted information from Asset Y from March 2004, and stated that much of our derogatory information on Gul came from Asset Y reporting, as did much of our pre-election threat information. On September 17, 2004, following the reports about the discrepancies between the comments made by Janot Gul and Asset Y as well as similar denials from Sharif El-Masri, who was in foreign government custody, the CIA undertook a counterintelligence review of Asset Y to assess the validity of Asset Y's reporting. On October Redacted 2004 and October Redacted 2004, CIA officers provided a redacted assessment of Asset Y. That redacted assessment indicated that Asset Y was deceptive in response to questions regarding his alleged meeting with senior al-Qaeda official Sheikh Saeed, at which Asset Y claimed to have learned about the pre-election threat. Asset Y then admitted to having fabricated the information about the meeting. Despite the recantation of reporting from Asset Y, officers from the CIA's Alex station continued to assess that Jannat Gul was one of the highest-ranking facilitators in Pakistan, with long-standing access to senior leaders in al-Qaeda and other groups. This assessment was not shared by CIA personnel involved in Gul's interrogation. On November 10, 2004, the CIA's chief of base at Detention Site Black, the CIA detention site hosting Gul, wrote that the words used by Alex Station to describe Jannat Gul fly in the face of what is now a rather long history of debriefings, which, I would assert, paint a very different picture of him. While Jannat Gul was certainly a facilitator, describing him as highest ranking gives him a stature which is undeserved, overblown, and misleading. Stating that he had long-standing access to senior leaders in al-Qaeda is simply wrong. To put it simply, Jannat Gul is not the man we thought he was. While he no doubt had associations and interactions with people of interest, Jannat Gul is not the pivotal figure our pre-detention descriptions of him suggest. We do a disservice to ourselves, the mission, and even Jannat Gul by allowing misperceptions of this man to persist. On November 22, 2004, a CIA officer noted the discrepancy between the CIA's description of Jannat Gul as a potential source of intelligence information regarding an attack by al-Qaeda in a draft OLC memorandum, and the current assessment of Jannat Gul. In an email, the CIA officer indicated that he had spoken to the CIA's associate general counsel, redacted, who had informed him that the state of our knowledge about Gul had evolved since he was captured. The email noted that, at first we believe he had attack information of a more imminent nature, but now it appears that he does not have such information. The email indicated that, redacted, would talk to personnel at OLC about the issue to amend the draft opinion to reflect the state of our knowledge. The OLC memorandum was not updated. On December 19, 2004, CIA detention site personnel wrote again that Jannat Gul was not the man CIA headquarters made him out to be, and that he is a very simple man who no doubt did a capable job as a facilitator, but he is not the link to senior AQ leaders that CIA headquarters say he was.
Note, 1967. CIA comments on detainees, December 19, 2004, notes from Detention Site Black. In April 2005, the chief of base where Jannat Gul was held emailed that Jannat Gul was never the person we thought he was. He is not the senior al-Qaeda facilitator that he has been labeled. He's a rather poorly educated village man with a very simple outlook on life. He's also quite lazy, and it's the combination of his background and lack of initiative that got him